It's time now for KMTS Connections, a public affairs program from KMTS News, heard weekdays around 12:30, bringing you interviews and information regarding local nonprofit events and city and county services from Aspen to Rifle. Once again, it's Gabe from the KMTS Morning Show. As you know, a lot of times we focus on nonprofits, that kind of thing. Occasionally, it's something so interesting that we think you might be interested in it. Elaine Langstaff retired from the Forest Service recently and wrote a book. If we could all be so lucky to retire and then write a book is our to keep ourselves busy in retirement. It's The Rifle Volunteer Fire Department, The Evolution of 1902 to 2002. 100 years of history going back before Rifle as a city was incorporated. Of course, it was incorporated in 1905. And so this book, first of all, I mean, I mentioned that you worked for the Forest Service. I'm assuming that you probably did fire in Forest Service. Is that where the interest in writing this book came from?
You know how to dig. yes and no. Yes, I did do fire in wildland firefighting and enjoyed it for 15 years as a collateral duty to my job with the Forest Service. I had good encouragement and I enjoyed it very much. However, I did step into the first female of the structure fire department here in Rifle, and I was on it for 11 years.
When was that?
I started in 86, retired in 97.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you ran out of the original firehouse, which was ultimately condemned when the new firehouse was built.
Oh, there was no. The original firehouse actually was City Hall, which is on 3rd Street. It moved to where the museum is at, and then it purchased the building on 2nd Street.
Okay. Second is the one that I was referring to.
Yes. I was out of a garage. Yes. We stacked our equipment. We couldn't. Yeah. Everything was stacked and strategically lined out for the season.
And you said you started on the fire department in 1986?
I did.
On the rifle fire department? Okay. Mm-hmm. So you may have had some firsthand or maybe heard some secondhand stories that maybe you included in the book.
I wished I could have gotten more stories. That's the one where I wasn't strong suited. I tried, but ultimately it just you've got to remember that structure, wildland firefighting, probably EMTs, paramedics, police, they all keep their stories to themselves.
Fair enough. That's a fair point.
It's a
When did you decide to write this book? Was it when you retired, or had you been keeping this in your back pocket for a long time?
So it started with a wildland fire training in Montrose, Colorado. And there was a booth right up front, and it was a guy dressed up in local structure firefighting. He was just dressed up. He was in a nice shirt and tie and all the badges. And I was drawn to him. And here was this beautiful book, and it was the 100 years of the Montrose Fire Department.
Okay.
And I was just, I just grabbed it up and I started going through it, and we started talking. And at the end of it, he gave me a book, and this gentleman started the whole idea that possibly I could do it.
And when was that?
That was in probably, I don't know, it was still wildland, so it was probably 98, 99.
Wow. And, so over 20 years ago.
Oh my gosh, yes. And then I didn't start research of the local newspaper until I started in 2004. So I would get off the bus from riding up to Glenwood to do my job. And then when I got here, I'd get off the bus and walk over to the library, wherever it was located. I've been to 3 different locations. I would track them down. And I would use old microfiche reading equipment. And I would just flip the pages. And I'm sure I've missed articles, but, you know, I just go through until they closed at night. So that was usually a couple hours.
So you're literally looking at each newspaper every single day looking for something that might be related
right.
to the fire department.
You couldn't do a simple fire search. Right. I know. I'm you know, savvy enough. It's like, oh, this is really going back in time. Well, actually, and I even actually started with the actual newspapers that were here, located here in Rifle on 3rd Street, when the office, when Citizen Telegram was on 3rd Street.
So they still had an archive.
They had the archives, and then they went to Glenwood, and the Post Independent retained them. And I knew this because I walked into the Post Independent one day, and here were all the books. And I'm like, oh, I know where to go when I need them, because I wasn't to that point yet.
Right.
I was still doing the microfiche search. And so when I came back and started, this was all during work. And then when I retired, it's like, okay, I'm going to get to the point where I'm going to need these books again. And they came back to the library. So I was able to just go down to the library and ask, you know, do you have this copy this year, whatever. So
how can folks get a copy of this book? Is it, first of all, is it, Amazon Kindle, that kind of thing? Or is it just the actual physical book right now?
It's not even the physical book yet. It's going to be delivered today. It was supposed to be delivered last Thursday. It went to print October 25th, and I wanted to get it out, finally. I finally hit a point. I needed to get it out. So we had a cutoff date of October 25th. Then I went looking. Once I was to the point where I didn't have to do any more research, writing on it, or anything, and I partnered with the Rifle Heritage Center.
Okay.
The Rifle Heritage Center has it on their website as of this morning. So it's the World Wide Web, rifleheritagecenter.com. Or if people want, they can call 970-625-4862, which is their number. And they do answer it, even though they're closed during the winter. They're helping me through some functions I have. And one of them will be Saturday, and I have a book signing.
So Cecil and Betty will be,
they'll
still pick up the phone.
They will pick up the phone. You're right.
So how is this kind of a fundraiser for them as well? Or are they just helping you out? Okay.
No, they helped me out tremendously because I want all my sales to go through the Heritage Center, but they will earn half of the profit on it. I will get I'll get my costs back, but they'll earn half the profit.
I know they've been looking for a way to get some heat in the building so they can actually stay open in the winter. So hopefully this will be a step in that direction.
I don't know if it will or not, but it'll help regardless.
It's a step.
It's a worthy cause.
Right.
Yes.
So what about the book signing?
So, with their help, we set up a book signing at the Rifle Branch Library. It will be from 3 to 5 on this Saturday, the 14th of December. And they also have another function that's running upstairs, and that's the train display that Pat Thresher puts together. So we're kind of doing a lot on Saturday. However, that's when my book signing will be.
Your co-worker at the Forest Service. Of course, Pat Thrasher.
You right? are right.
Yeah, okay.
And co-firefighter. He does public affairs for wildland
fires. Which is where we know him, which is where we know the name.
Yes, you're right. I'm in competition, Pat. You didn't know it, but I am.
Again, the book is The Rifle Volunteer Fire Department, The Evolution of 1902 to 2002 by Elaine Langstaff. Again, you can get a signed copy this Saturday, the 14th, 3 to 5 at the Rifle Branch Library. How much?
The Heritage Center set the price at $40, which I completely concur with.
Okay. So. We'll talk a little bit about the content of the book when we come back.
Okay.
You're listening to KMTS Connections. Welcome back to KMTS Connections. Again, this afternoon, we are talking with local historian, author, Elaine Langstaff. The book is Rifle Volunteer Fire Department, The Evolution of 1902 to 2002. Again, being sold in conjunction with the Rifle Heritage Center. So if you'd like to buy a copy, you can go to their website, rifleheritagecenter.com. You can give them a call at 625-4862. And there's the book signing. Elaine will sign your copy this Saturday the 14th from 3 to 5 at the Rifle Branch Library. Plus, you can see Pat Thrasher's train display upstairs
Correct.
In the library
Thank you.
As well. And again, it's just $40 for this great historical piece. Before we got started, I asked you, I said, so is it all text? Are there pictures? I mean, if you're talking about the fire department, you got to have some pictures.
Got to have some pictures, yes.
And you said it's actually a lot of both. It's 360 pages?
Yeah, it's 360 pages.
And it's 8.5 by 11.
Correct.
So it's I guess I wouldn't call it a coffee table book per se, but it is rather large. It's big enough that you can actually see some detail in the pictures.
Well, and with Jostens, you know, anyone that holds an annual in their hand, that's what this is going to be, about double the size.
It's like a yearbook.
Size meaning pages, thick.
Right, yeah. Right. When you showed me the picture of the cover, mm-hmm. it looks like that. I don't even know how to describe the cover of a yearbook.
Right.
You know, with the.
It's a foil backed, and I can't remember what Jostens calls it, but it is a lovely red with the gold foil back, okay. And in the print, and there's a picture, and I want to hit on that picture a little bit. So we all know the Garrison photos. Thank God we had Garrisons, you know, from the before the early 1900s.
I don't know how he took so many pictures
exactly.
In as many places as he took pictures.
Yeah, he was a traveling photographer, and his history, a little bit of it, is in there. However, more of the history I have in there is of Ola Afenson. Ola Afenson was a photographer in Parachute back in the day, and she had a lovely little business. She had her mom by her side. Her and her mom moved out there, and it was oil and gas that was her bread and butter. However, she took pictures of people that had never gotten wedding pictures, who had not ever had formal pictures, and she just did a lovely job of it. Well, Fred, and this is in the book, I shouldn't all give it away, but Fred ended up encountering her and offering her a position because he bought his partner out, and he drug his brother in from the oil, drug his brother in. His brother wanted to go to the oil fields and get back to where money was being made. And so he had stopped by and Fred offered a position to Ola and said, you know, any time, well, another year and lean times. And Ola left Parachute with her mom and came to Rifle. Within a year, she was Mrs. Garrison.
Oh, so, that is so interesting.
It is such a sweet story.
So it was photography that brought them together.
It was photography, and she continued her work. I don't know if she was behind the scenes a lot. I think she did the portraits in-house, okay. And he continued to travel.
Interesting. So interesting you had mentioned oil and gas. A lot of people, when they think of boom-bust cycle in this area, they think May 16th, 1982, which was Black Sunday, was the first bust. No, it wasn't. There was actually a boom-bust cycle going back to like turn of the century, right? Turn
Correct.
Of the previous century.
And you know, a lot of the research that I did in looking for articles on the fire department, you saw that. You saw where oil and gas was an influence in this area for years.
So interesting.
The whole time.
And continues to be.
Yes.
Right? That up and down.
Driving force.
Yeah, that up and down never stops.
Yes.
Apparently.
Yes.
It's been going on for over 100 years now.
Yeah.
So in the book, do you talk, obviously, the history, it's a history book. It goes back to Rifle Fire Department in 1902, and it's, I assume that was the very beginning of the fire department?
No, I
really
opted to take the start with the major fire that burned Rifle, Colorado. It burned most of the downtown, and that was May 2nd, 1902. And it was a bucket brigade. It was savvy people turning on the ditches, getting the water close to town so they could do a bucket brigade.
Wow.
And our forefathers, as they then tackled becoming a city instead of a town, incorporating, and then businessmen, and they all got together and said, we must do this. And they started the fire department March 16th, 1907.
Wow.
They started it
so
just in
what,
time.
What I'm getting here is May is not a good month around here.
Yeah, oil and gas. And yeah, you might want to skip May.
Right.
Go out and enjoy the country. And they started the department officially just before the anniversary of the Great Fire. And that's how they made their money for many years, is they put on a dance.
No kidding.
Yes, sir.
Oh, how sweet.
I know. It was so sweet. One of the first invitations to that lovely event that they held after they started as a formal department is down at the fire station. Yeah.
And this would have been the original fire station, which you said was on... not where the museum is now.
Yeah, so they worked out of the same City Hall. So
City Hall, that's right. Okay.
So on 3rd Street, you go west off of Railroad Avenue in the first block on the left. There's a corner business there, but in that brick building there on the corner, and I have a picture of it in the book, you will see in the window, if you walk down there, that it said City Hall, First City Hall of Rifle, Colorado. And okay. It's got the date and everything. Wow. And what they did is our firefighters then started meeting there. And eventually, when they got a piece of equipment they needed to store, which took a while, they stored it downstairs. Yeah.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. How long was it before, you know, we've all seen in parades and that kind of thing, the old horse-drawn, I'm not sure if you would call it a fire engine, but they had some kind of,
hose cart.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
It wasn't horse-drawn, even though it looks like it could have been. It was people-drawn. It was our firefighters that actually grabbed up the cart.
And that was, they used that in rifle back at turn of the century?
They
okay.
did, yes.
So a hose cart.
Mm-hmm.
So am I right that this had some rudimentary pump system, or how did it work?
I don't know for sure, I believe, but it had like a hand pump.
Okay.
So on the back, I think you'll see that there was, that is still somewhere.
So something that would look somewhat like the old railroad cars where
Correct. And
you would pump it up and down and that would pump
with
the water
through source.
It. Okay.
Yes.
But you'd still need a water source.
And that evolved, you know, eventually the City of Rifle then did, I don't know when they put in their first, you know, fire hydrant. But there were ditches still, and that they used that up until they finally got the plumbing put in, the infrastructure put in for fighting fires.
Of course,
other things.
This is long before the ISO rating, which we all know so much about in this day and age.
Yes.
If you get homeowners insurance,
correct.
So, what was the first mechanized? And by mechanized, I mean the first fire engine as we would know it. You know, the old. Was it American LaFrance, the old open cab fire trucks that were so popular back then?
I have a picture of it in the book, and it probably tells you there, but I couldn't just off the top of my head. The oldest truck that I engineered, we engineered our trucks. If you drove them, then you also pumped them. And so the engineer panel, so we were called engineers. And the oldest truck I did was the Darley, and that was a 50s truck. And I took it to one fire.
And was that the rifle fire department, or was it a different?
It was.
Okay. All right. So you, again, you have a lot of history with this fire department.
I do, but that wasn't the driving force on this book. It just, when I saw that one book, I thought, oh, we have to tell our story. Mm-hmm. That's all there is to it. And of course, then, you know, I was a part of it. So,
do you think that this might spur other people, other local fire departments to write histories of their departments as well?
I really don't
know. It's a
know.
Lot of work. I'm still trying to wrap my mind around 20 years in the making and 15 years of research for this one moment.
Right. I don't know if it'll, you know, stimulate thinking for other departments. I did incorporate a little bit of articles when I ran across them, and not all of them, of Silt and Newcastle. There's Glenwood in there because we were mutual aid to Glenwood, a couple of big fires, and a parachute. And, you know, if they do, it's going to have to be someone. The lady that wrote the book of the first 100 years of the Montrose Department was actually a journalist.
Well, I guess that makes sense.
And it does.
Okay.
It does. And I'm thinking, I can't compete with that. How am I going to do this? How do I start this process?
Again, you can buy the book online at rifleheritagecenter.com. Again, they get half the proceeds from the sale of this book along with Elaine. Again, hopefully that is a step forward for them to try and get some heat so that they can keep the museum open year-round. And you can get a signed copy of Rifle Volunteer Fire Department, The Evolution of 1902 to 2002, this Saturday at the Rifle Branch Library from 3 to 5 in the afternoon. Again, it's $40, which for, you said 360 pages?
Yes.
360 pages of local information and history. I have a feeling that this could be a collector's item, really.
Or
without the signature.
I foresee that hopefully when people have rifle shots in their home, they might want this one.
Yeah. So I agree. Again, you can also call 625-4862. One final break. We'll come back and wrap things up in just a minute. You're listening to KMTS Connections. Welcome back to KMTS Connections. Again, this afternoon, we're talking with Elaine Langstaff. She is the author of the book, Rifle Volunteer Fire Department, The Evolution of 1902 to 2002. 360 pages for $40. You can buy it from the Rifle Heritage Center at rifleheritagecenter.com. You can also get a signed copy this Saturday, the 14th, from 3 to 5 at the Rifle Branch Library.
Correct.
And again, you're working with the Rifle Heritage Center on this to sell the book. Mm-hmm. And I imagine that they probably may have, you may have been able to do some research there. Obviously, a lot of research using the old Telegram newspaper archives. Was it called the Telegram back then, by the way?
Reveille. Reveille, whatever, and then Telegram, the Telegram, and then the Citizen Telegram. And yeah, that kind of all evolves in my book, too. You'll see that. And I do need to correct something. I worked with a very savvy lady at the library, and she had a group of people that have, you know, they've touched on a lot of this stuff. And I said, am I really an author? And so they threw it back and forth, and we called me an editor. I am an editor of the book. It is by Elaine Langstaff, but I guess I'm an editor.
Okay. So you're mostly compiling words that other people have come. Okay.
Yes, you got
That's
it.
Fair.
You
That's
got
fair.
It.
I see the distinction, and I guess I could see where.
I thought I'd better bring that up.
No,
I'm truly
fair.
Not an author.
We'll let history decide.
Okay. Sounds good. Sounds good. Here we go again. More history.
Right, exactly. When somebody writes the next book about the history, they can include you, and we'll see how they reference you.
Right. And the Heritage Center, what they have with history, they have, you know, like little fire department, fire toys and stuff like that. But they have the garrison photos. Those are invaluable. Mm-hmm. And they don't have all of them. Some of them are owned by History Colorado. And actually, the picture that the book cover shows, and I have it as the inside int cover,
Is that called like a Colorado State Historical Archive thing?
Yes. Okay. And I did buy that picture from them. But any pictures that the Heritage Center had, I tried to use. So
that's fantastic.
Yeah.
There's so many things of all the museums in our area, or the historical societies, as they now like to be called.
Yes.
Such immense archives.
Yes.
And they don't even have them cataloged yet.
No,
you know, with descriptions.
They're still digitizing, and a lot of the titles were lost.
Mm-hmm.
Those weren't, for some reason, the glass plates were found, but titles of the glass plates, which is usually in another file, and it's kept.
Right. I want to say a lot of those glass plate negatives, they found it was just sitting in somebody's basement
coop
or something. Yeah, okay. Exactly.
Yes.
Obviously, if you're doing a history of the fire department over 100 years, you probably came across mentions of big fire events. You mentioned the precipitous for an organized fire department and rifle was the big fire of 1902, which destroyed a lot of downtown. So 5 years later, a couple months shy of 5 years later, they decided to get together and organize an official, of course, this was a volunteer fire department at that time,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And were there other big events like that over the years that you came across in your
Rifle?
Research?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And you'll see all of them in the book. Oh, I'm not even going to spill the beans on them. I couldn't remember them all if I could.
But, so if you were to give a number of how many large-scale fire-type events, how many would it be?
Oh, my gosh. You know, I couldn't even give you a number. But when I was first put on the fire department, there were, I think, 6 or 8 of us that came on the department at the same time. And the chief had said, you know, typically we have maybe one major structure fire a year. And
have been Mike Morgan at that time, or would that have been Carlton Hoffmeister?
Before. Okay. And it wasn't Carlton Hoffmeister at the time.
In between the two.
It was John Savage. And we had chiefs that ran just a year. So we changed chiefs quite often, not always. And all of that information's also in the book. However, the chief at the time said, you know, we have usually one major structure fire a year. And after 2 years, I think we had some like a dozen. It was terrible. It just, you know, you never know when things are going to hit. And some of those were wildland too. So like South Rifle, you know, it burned. And we didn't lose one structure in Village South. And on Tacuba Mesa, I think we had some damage to one house. But I tell you, you know, you ask any volunteer, and volunteers ran up until into the 90s. We weren't a paid structure fire department until then, into the 90s.
And now is Colorado River, they are an entirely paid department now, or do they still have volunteers?
I believe they still have volunteers. I went to their community meeting they had the other night, and I was surprised. I didn't realize they still had volunteers. But I think that's how you get your foot in the door, too. And it's a worthy cause. If people can give some time, that's a great way of doing it. And then you're known, and then if you want to go through getting your
firefighter one,
that's
whatever,
right, your training that you need, and college, then fire science, then it's a good foot in the door.
And I guess that's a little off topic. The book is through 2002.
Correct.
So for me to ask something current would be a little inappropriate. Well, or off topic anyway.
Let me put it this way. If not for the history that you'll read in this book, there probably would be a different organization than the Colorado River Fire Rescue. So
really,
we are the stepping stones to that. We evolved. And Mike Morgan was a huge part of that. So were many board members.
That's fascinating. I can't wait to read about and put the, as you say, put the stepping stones together to see how that kind of led to the current status of the fire service in this area.
Right.
And again, you mentioned that there is a little bit of history about the adjacent fire departments too: Parachute, Newcastle, Silt, Glenwood, of course, as you mentioned, all kind of combined together. If there's a...
There were events that brought them together,
right,
yes.
Right, exactly.
And training. Training not so much with Glenwood, a little bit, but mostly it was... I remember training with Silt, Newcastle, and Parachute. We just put training on once a month at Monday night meeting, and we would do an hour training before we went to the meeting. So, yeah.
That's how you stay up to date, right?
And that was just at a minimum. Oh,
right. And again,
that was definitely just
keep
the
in mind, these are volunteers up until the 90s. All
Correct.
Volunteers up
Correct.
Until the 90s with maybe a paid chief.
No one was paid.
Really?
No.
Wow.
And that was one of the determining factors on if I was going to continue in the fire service or turn in my resignation. Because when you have teenagers, you know, and a husband and a ranch, and it's like
there's only so much time.
That's right, because you can bet it's a 40-hour job that you weren't getting paid for. How do you fit that into the job that you are getting paid for and your family life? Yes.
So what's next for you? Another book? More research,
gosh,
maybe?
No. This is. I'm glad this dream has come to fruition. But no, I have lots of other little projects that I have at home, and we're active farmers, so we definitely go out and have we have grass hay that we raise and cut and I stay busy. So.
Well, this was a fun year for you then. Well, I guess you got started late, but you still got probably at least three cuttings out of year, right?
We did.
Maybe four?
We did.
Did you get four?
No. Okay. Three's our max, and that's only been enough? Under my husband's management. Yes, he's done very well with that. So
fair enough. at a certain point, you just kind of are done with it, right?
It's no like, more. Oh, I'm so glad no winter's more. Coming on.
Again, you can pick up a copy of Rifle Volunteer Fire Department, The Evolution of 1902 to 2002 at the Rifle Heritage Center website, rifleheritagecenter.com. I'm sure next spring when they open again, when it gets warm enough, they'll also have a copy in the lobby there at the Rifle Heritage Center. You can call Cecil and Betty at 625-4862. And Elaine will sign a copy for you this Saturday afternoon between 3 and 5 at the Rifle Branch Library. Again, the cost of the book is $40. And for 360 pages of local history, I'd say that is a bargain.
Well, thank you.
Again, Elaine gets half the money, and the Rifle Heritage Center gets the other half of the money. So it also helps benefit the Rifle Heritage Center, which has been, as you say, a great resource locally for continuing to archive those garrison photos, those glass plate negatives, which I can't even, I probably wouldn't even be qualified to touch one, much less scan
treasure.
It in.
And
Pretty cool.
And Gabe, I want to thank you for the service that you guys provide here. This is wonderful. And for reaching out and taking a chance on me, because I'm not a nonprofit, but this project does help a nonprofit.
Sure.
So,
absolutely. And like I say, you know, it's a historical thing, and I think a lot of people would be interested in it, and that's kind of the test that we put these things to. It's like, okay, if it's not a nonprofit, is it still relevant? And I think the answer is absolutely yes.
You got it on this one, yeah.
All the best. Let us know when you put together the next book.
Okay,
notice
sounds
I
good.
Said put together, not write, right? Because you're the editor, not the author.
Yes.
See, I pay attention.
Yes, you did.
Again, the website is rifleheritagecenter.com. The book is Rifle Volunteer Fire Department, The Evolution of 1902 to 2002.
Yes.
All the best, Elaine.
Thank
to you soon.
You.
You've been listening to KMTS Connections, a public affairs program from KMTS News, heard weekdays around 12:30. It's another reason we are the most listened to radio station from Rifle to Aspen.